Deplorable Nation, the podcast of the people, by the people, for the people. For your rights, we fight. You decide. Facts. Is it really conspiracy? It's all up to you, patriots. Never give up. Hello, and welcome to the re-record of episode number 14 of Deplorable Nation. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, and I have a little poem for the ladies out there. This is to all the ladies out there, be strong and be proud. Stand up for your values and let your voices be loud. For all of the moms and daughters, we will do what is right. We won't cower or bow because it's well worth the fight. We are in this together to bring truth to the masses. If anyone tries to stifle you, you can tell them to kiss your asses. So anyway, on today's episode of Deplorable Nation, I am going to be joined by my good friend, Cassie. So Miss Cassie, what's going on today?
Not a lot going on today. My kid is already coming out here to interrupt our recording. I'm sorry.
Okay, sorry about life, that. Life happens.
I know. It's always fun over here where I'm at.
So tell me, Miss Cassie, tell me a little bit about you and your background and how you got connected basically with moi.
So I am 31. I live in Southern California. I have a beautiful 7-year-old daughter. I am currently engaged, and I used to be very against our President Trump. I'm sorry. I just always thought that he was arrogant, and I know my fiance was always the same too. We were really concerned about and starting wars and stuff like that, just because the way he's portrayed by the media. I mean, we were totally brainwashed by that. I know he has family that's still in Japan because that's where he's from. He moved to America in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. So, he still has like his sister and stuff like that out in Japan. And I just remember there was a point where he literally threw his phone down when he read the news one day and just was like, he's going to get my country nuked. Like, my family's going to die. And so we just kind of always didn't like him. And I don't know, through like the lockdowns and everything, we started noticing ways where the media is just lying. And I started listening. We both started like watching his live speeches and then seeing how stuff was edited later. And I mean, we just really realized how brainwashed we were, you know. And I feel bad because like my immediate family, all of them are Republican, and I'm not that I ever was a Democrat, but I always try to remain in the center, you know?
Right.
But I just remember my sister always trying to tell me like positives about him. And I just remember saying like, I don't like him and I never will be. So we should just talk about something else. And I realized how wrong I was now, you know? So I've really just been working to kind of wake other people up as well. And I feel like when you talk to somebody who also used to be against him, like it's easier to kind of relate and it gives you maybe more a sense of credibility in their eyes.
Right.
So I don't know. That's just what I'm trying to work on right now.
So what was your quote walk away experience?
I just remember I don't remember what live speech it was. I heard one of his and it just sounded really like wonderful to me. And then later it was just the way it was edited. And I remember calling my sister and kind of talking to her about it. And then she started telling me about like kids getting trafficked. And I started looking into all the stuff he's been doing to fight that. And I just remember thinking like, did I just become a Trump supporter?
And you're like, oh my God.
Oh goodness, that happened. And it's funny because like my fiance, he was a couple of months after me. So, I mean, we even kind of got into a couple arguments about it because he was just like, oh my God, you and your sister are so far gone. You're over here talking about underground tunnels with kids. Like, you guys are ridiculous with these conspiracy theories. And then he slowly started like listening to us, you know, as he's over there talking shit. But, you know, it was like starting to like make sense to him because eventually he's like, so what's going on? And then he started asking questions. And now he's over here, like, getting into Facebook arguments with friends, like, trying to tell them, like, no, you're wrong. This isn't what happened and stuff. So it's just funny how that happens.
So tell everybody, like, how did you get hooked up with me? Like, how did you know about me?
I started listening to the No Mercy podcast, and I just heard you on there, and I just always thought you were amazing. And it's funny because I didn't realize that there was really even a connection there between you and your Periscopes with Bob, because mm-hmm. I used to go over, like, in the beginning of the lockdowns to visit my mom and my sister, and they would be over there, like their headphones in, listening to your Periscopes. And it was like, I didn't even exist. And I was like, who the hell are these people? You know, I was like, this has got to be good. And it's funny because I was already listening to No Mercy, and I just didn't, like, connect the two until I started talking to my mom later. And then it's just funny. I don't know. We just started talking on Twitter, and I don't know. I just feel like you and I are just meant to be friends.
Two peas in a pod, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And you know what's so funny about that is the left narrative that we are absolutely supposed to be ingrained to hate each other. And you were a walk away person, but you were, like, not supportive of Trump and whatnot. Has there ever been a time that we have not gotten along?
No, never.
Exactly. And for our listeners, we actually text each other. And I'm so proud of her because she found her voice too, which is what the show is all about, is people finding their voice. And so shout out to your mom and your sister for watching our Periscopes. I think that's funny. I mean, the story you told Tuesday when, of course, everything got screwed up. I told Greg about it, and he was like, that's fantastic. You have to tell her to tell that story again because it's great.
Yeah.
So I just want to say, and I already warned Cassie, I'm going to get on a soapbox today, and I'm going to tell you why. Yesterday, someone threw a stick of dynamite into my life, blew shit up. It was the shittiest shit day I've had for a really long time. And, like, from the moment I got out of bed until I went to bed last night, it was just a shit day. And anything and everything negative and crappy that could go wrong did. I had a lot of very shitty phone conversations yesterday. So I just want to say something. Never, ever let your pants get so big that you're stuck with wearing pants five sizes too small. And what I mean by that is, never forget that everybody that's big used to be small, used to have a small voice, until other people made them. To me, loyalty is a huge thing. And I will never be the type of person that my head gets so big that I shit on our listeners or friends or anyone that's close to us. Our listeners are everything. I'm not about, you know, 5 million followers and, you know, being, like, the most important person on the planet and thinking I'm Jesus Christ who walks on water. I will never be that kind of person, and I will never, ever let anyone in the world ever shit talk my friends or people that we know and think that that's okay. Every single person on this planet has an opinion. Everything affects them differently. Everybody has a voice. And so you're important to me. And this show is about people, normal, everyday people, and how stuff affects your life and things that you've gone through. We tie in news. We tie in funny stories. We tie in community and feeling like oneness. I will never be the type of show ever on the face of the planet that tells you that you don't matter because you're small and I'm more important than you. No, I'm not. I'm the same as everyone else. But when you start personally attacking, that's not okay with me. Not going to play that way. Not going to happen. And I will never disrespect any of our listeners because you're the reason why we're here. I want normal, everyday people on my show, and that's the way it's going to stay. And I will never, ever let someone else tell me what to do and what to think and how to be. I'm not going to be controlled, and I'm not going to be quiet. And the good thing about my shitty day yesterday was that it lit a fire onto my butt, basically, to be like, okay, be yourself, always be you. If other people don't like you the way that you are, fuck them. Because you are important and you do matter. Your voices matter. I don't care if you have 20 years experience in something or if you just have an opinion on something. That's what the show is about. It's not about star kissing, star fucking, or I did something so I'm more important than you. I'm never going to be that way. So it's a good thing that that happened yesterday because I live by this mantra. Everything happens for a reason. And so my shitty day yesterday just made it more important for me to get everybody's voices that I know heard. Whether other people like it or not, that's not my problem. I don't really care. So I'm just saying. Sorry about the soapbox.
I loved it. You know who's really great with that too, I think, is like with uplifting people, is Greg. I mean, there's been times where I kind of have expressed how I have trouble speaking up and using my voice, working on it, you know, but he always would just kind of message me and encourage me and just in every way he can. You guys are amazing. And I mean, I've never been on a podcast before and you know that, and you put me on. So, I mean, sorry in advance if I mess anything up.
No, you're fine. And that's, and you know, that's the whole point. And that's, hello, listen to the intro. It's of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's not of the important people and no one else matters. I will never shit on our listeners. I will never shit on our friends. Loyalty is important to me. And the moment that you are not and you stab me in the back, that's a fucking problem. Because I will get loud and I will be the most annoying, obnoxious person that you've ever met in your life. Because every single person that listens to the show matters. Every person makes a difference because your opinions matter. You have thoughts of your own in your head. I don't need you to tell me who I can and can't talk to and who is important and who's not. That's never going to happen. So thank you for the shit day yesterday, because another lesson learned in my life. I'm glad to say thank you for that. So anyways, sorry about the rant. Everyone's going to have to deal with it, but I'm just me. So everyone can just, you know, do with that information what you want. But if you're in my circle, and you listen to this podcast, you are in my circle, period. And that's the way it is. And I love you and I respect you. And I'm never, ever going to sell you out to someone else because someone else has a different idea. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
that, man.
So Miss Cassie, I know Tuesday we talked about when, of course, the recording went to hell in a handbasket. You had to leave your house on two different occasions. Can you tell people what happened and why that occurred?
Yeah. So first of all, I got to say, I live in San Bernardino, California, which is not the safest city It's I don't know. I read something that it was just ranked the number one most dangerous city in California. So always a lot going on here day to day. Right. So in the beginning, when the stuff started happening with George Floyd, I think it was like on May 30th, they had a protest set up out here, and it was about two freeway exits south of me. So I was thinking, you know, it'll be all right. And just throughout the day, it started getting worse and worse, and the city started getting lit on fire. They started looting gun shops, destroying all the businesses downtown, and I started getting notifications on my Ring app where my neighbors were saying, like, hey, the gun shops got looted. People were hearing others shout that they were going to start hitting up the north end of San Bernardino because that's where the white people are, and that's where I live. So we just started kind of packing up our bags. It was like getting toward the 10 p.m. at this point. So we were just getting ready to go. I had to kind of quickly talk to my daughter about possibly needing to leave in the middle of the night, and how she just has to go. Don't ask questions. And you know, a little kid, like, they don't understand that, you know,
right.
She's asking why. And I mean, how do you even reply at that point? You know, like, you don't want to, You can't say the wrong thing. You don't want to give your kid issues long term. So we just kind of did what we could with explaining really quick and just saying that there were some people that were very upset about stuff going on in the world right now. And there's a lot of danger in the city and we just might need to go. So that's all you need to know.
Right.
So we made it through the night. We had to sleep with a loaded gun on our table. Also had to have a conversation, obviously, with her about, you know, gun safety, but. So we slept like that. And then right in the morning, we took off and went down to San Diego and stayed there over the weekend just to kind of let things calm down. Because, I mean, they literally went through our neighborhood. Like, right. The second you turn out of my neighborhood, all of the businesses are boarded up because they got looted. Our grocery store got looted. A store owner up the street, I can't remember if it was they got stabbed or shot. Like, something crazy happened there. And it was just, it's a lot, you know, so that was our first experience. And then a couple of weeks ago, I was getting word that there was going to be another protest out here in the same location. So I immediately was like, I'm not doing this shit again. So I started immediately packing our bags, and I called my sister, who lives in a very nice neighborhood. And I was telling her, like, hey, is it okay if my family heads out there for the night if things start getting scary? And she said, of course. So, you know, throughout the whole day, things were pretty mellow. I kept like checking in, like, you know, you go to Twitter and I just kept searching like San Bernardino riot, San Bernardino protest. Nothing was really popping up. So I was like, okay, I think that it's staying peaceful, which is good. Later I get, my daughter had me order her some food on like DoorDash. And so our driver pulls up and he rings the doorbell and he was like, hey, did you know there's a cop standoff with one of your neighbors right now? And I was like, what? And then he hands me the bag of food and he goes, I gotta go. And he like drove off all quick. And so I walked out and sure enough, there were like, I want to say like four or five cop cars all blocking the intersection, guns out. And then I just started hearing them blast the neighbor and he did get killed. So I just like freaked out, ran inside, packed up our bags and, you know, got our dogs and we just left. And it just scared me because I was thinking, like, there are these protests down south, like 2 miles. And if they get word that a cop just killed someone right here, they're going to head up this way.
Oh, definitely.
And crowds were already starting to form. And it was crazy. My street that I live on is a one-way road. So, like, you could not get to my street. Like, my house was the first one that could exit south. So, right. Like, anyone else above me was trapped. And so I just, like, I got my dogs, I got my kid, we got our bags, and we left quickly. And it was funny because like all my neighbors were around and I kind of waved at them and left. And the next day when we came home, our neighbors were talking to us and they were saying how they were all laughing because they're all walking toward the danger to kind of see what's going on. And I got away. They were like, hey, I commend you as a mom. We're over here stupid walking toward the danger. You got your family out.
Right.
But yeah, so I mean, it's just, you know, luckily nothing happened, but I mean, with riots wise, but I mean that what we found out the next day was that our neighbor, he was 3 houses down. He was on meth. He was holding a gun to one of the family members' head. So obviously the cops were called. And then he lit their kitchen on fire, which is like awful normally, but I mean, they're also trying to sell that house. The grandma owns the house.
Right.
She's very sick in a wheelchair. She has like an oxygen tank. So, I mean, he's over here lighting a fire. And apparently he had a machine gun with him and was like pointing it at the cops. So yeah, you get blasted. I mean,
hey, these are don'ts for most people, but I want people to think about this. These are the type of people that the media and the left emulate as heroes. People that hold guns or knives to pregnant women's bellies, people that are drug addicts, people that loot, steal, riot, blah, blah, blah. Thank you, Kamala Harris, for bailing out, you know, multiple rioters and looters, et cetera, as well as your staff. Thank you so much. Thank you also, Kamala Harris, for not prosecuting the priest in their sexual misconduct trials. That's fantastic as well. But like I said, these are the people that they emulate as heroes and then have like really giant, expensive funerals for and lavish, you know, untold amounts of money spent on their caskets and their funeral services, etc. But you peons, you're lucky if you get a pine box and you're allowed to have five people show up at yours because you're a law-abiding citizen. So I want you to know this is not a left versus right thing. This is not Republican. This is versus Democrat. This is a good versus evil. It seems like crime, money laundering, theft, child abuse, pedophilia, things like that are resume enhancers for a lot of people that are then put in to the United States Congress, whether it be the House or the Senate, to represent you as a people. There's a judge that was put on, and I've talked about this before, that was disbarred in Florida, that was put on the ethics committee in the House. So he oversees the rules and the ethics of other members, even though he was disbarred from being a judge and from being having a law license because of his personal conduct. Watch those things. If somebody's running for office, investigate them yourself. Don't look at Snopes. Don't look at Wikipedia. Don't look at crap like that. Type in, you know, and DuckDuckGo like so-and-so scandal or, you know, dig for information because you need to know the kind of shit that's representing you. Kind of like we have a member of the House in the quote wink squad that got put there through auditions. We have another member of the wink squad in the House that was also put there that has not just school loan fraud, marriage fraud, address fraud, you name it, you've got it. If you commit any kind of crimes, it's a resume enhancer on both sides. Both sides of the aisle are crooked and corrupt. So know who you're putting in, because those are the people that probably for most people don't align with your values. You're not bank robbers. You're not thieves. You're not, money laundering. You're not pedophiliacs or anything like that. So just know who you're putting in. It's important.
And Kamala also wants to talk about like letting felons have the right to vote again too, right?
Right. But then again, George Soros is spending millions of dollars in a lot of districts around the country, and LA is one of them right now, who does not believe in prosecuting or any kind of time for crimes. Criminals should be let go. So, you know, you go out, just fucking partied up. Murder your neighbors. And then we're just going to say, oh, you're such a good boy. We don't believe in prison time. So you just go live wherever you want. And then we'll call you when we need you to do some bad shit for us. This is the direction that our country is going in. And Soros is behind all of that, pushing all of that. We've talked about that before. Be well aware of what your government is becoming. So even people that don't like Trump because he's crass and abrasive, so am I. If you don't like it, don't listen. I'm not changing that. I want somebody that's going to tell me the truth and not sugarcoat and candy coat shit. I want you to talk to me like I would talk to you on the phone. I don't want you to be like, oh, sweetie honey pie, everything's going to be okay. And everything's roses and sunshine, and there's unicorns and rainbows for everyone. That's not the way fucking life is. So get that out of your head. If you need a safe space, you probably do not want to listen to our show. Because I will not give you one. Period. Just saying.
That
sorry,
was the best ending right there that you could have done.
Oh, thank That's you very why, much. You know. I need to put that on my soundboard. Just you like need burps
to, all you time. Know. Also, you need to add is like anytime you say George Soros, you need to be like dun dun dun.
Exactly right.
You need to like for sure.
I'm gonna have to broaden my soundboard with a lot of stuff. So anyway, something that I want to touch on again that we talked about the other day because it's important. The debates are just total shit shows. A lot of questions aren't answered, and there's like interesting winkity wink, 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 see me winking. There's interesting like equipment where people are being fed information. There's debate questions being fed to people. I just want to put this out there. Okay, a lot of people probably watch the presidential debate because Trump is highly entertaining. And I'm sorry, I think he's a comedian. I don't care if you like him or not. He's fucking funny.
He is.
And he's a major troll. Did anybody on the planet actually watch the vice presidential debate?
I actually watched it yesterday.
Did you?
I missed the first, I don't know if it was like the first half, but for sure it was, I think like 30 minutes. But I mean, yeah, it was interesting. I was really impressed with Mike Pence. I thought he did great. I definitely wanted to smack the shit out of Kamala Harris a few times.
Well, and here's the funny thing. Her and Biden pushed the same lies. If you remember the presidential debate, they pushed a lot of the same shit, you know, like coronavirus numbers and, you know, the Charlottesville crap, which of course is horseshit. Another thank you, Mockingbird Media. Fake, false talking points, whatever. And then Harris is pushing the Bob Woodward book that was debunked by Dr. Fauci, even though Dr. Fauci's their go-to expert. You
collectively.
Know.
I mean, yeah. He also said you could vote in person and they're ignoring that. So they pick and choose, just like the CDC. Pick and choose when that matters. But when the CDC puts out the true numbers of deaths and everything, all of a sudden you're banned if you talk about it. So
right. But the funny thing is, and I watched literally like, I don't know, the first maybe 15 minutes last night. And the very first thing that this lovely debate moderator from USA Today, who has also given a shit ton of money to the Biden campaign. What? Mm-hmm. Did I say that?
Didn't you she write a book about Nancy Pelosi too or something like that?
Oh, I thought
I saw something about that. Could be wrong.
So the very, it's good. The very first thing that she says when she comes on the stage is, I just want everyone to know that before this debate, prior to this debate, and me being the moderator, I did not give any of the questions to anyone. Okay. You can go check on Twitter, because one of the things that they were talking about, you know, and that was a moment between the moderator and, of course, Heels Up. And she said, well, this will be a perfect segue into the next segment. And she's like, oh, yes, yes, it is. Because we need the, you know, the economy is important. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Now, I just thought you said at the very beginning, like, no one knew the questions. No one knew what was coming up. But miraculously, Kamala Harris knew that the next section was going to be about the economy.
I wish Pence asked about that. That would have been so awesome.
Does anybody find that odd that those questions were never given? But yet, somehow someone knew what the next segment was.
Yeah, I just wish he looked at her and said, well, how did you know what the segue was?
I know, right?
Like, can you imagine her stupid face? Stupid smile?
She would be like, oh, well, I don't know. Oh, la, 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 la.
So
I just want to say, okay, there's an election quote or debate commission. One of the rules of the debate commission is supposed to be that all moderators are to be fair, unbiased, and balanced. Okay, so you have Democratic Chris Wallace, who has given to Democratic campaigns, who's a never-Trumper and anti-Trumper and bashes him literally every moment of every fucking waking day. And then you have this vice presidential lovely woman from USA Today, who is a giant contributor to the Biden campaign and the Democrats. And then coming up on the next presidential debate, you have the lovely Steve Scully from C-SPAN, who was an intern for Joe Biden. Funny how all of these people are aligned with the Democratic Party. So in the next presidential debate, Stephen Scully from C-SPAN, who was a Biden intern, is supposed to have the power and ability to turn off Trump's mic. Now, wait a minute. I thought all moderators are supposed to be fair, unbiased, and balanced. How come every single one of the moderators that the Federal Election Commission or the Debate Commission puts in charge of the debates are all Democratic supporters?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it supposed to be fair, unbiased, and balanced? Just questioning. And so I want to bring attention to this because this is important. This happened not only in the presidential debate, but also in the vice presidential debate when Biden and Harris were both asked about packing the Supreme Court, and neither one of them answered that question at all. Not once. They skirted around it with these, you know, big political, we'll give a history on voting. And then last night it was giving a history from a quote, I say that in jest, from Abe Lincoln, which is something that Abe Lincoln never said. But those are there. They can't answer that question because it's their plan. It's already out in the public. Jerry Nadler talks about it. Chuck Schumer talks about it. Literally every fucking one of them talks about it. Honestly. And then somebody asked Chris Wallace after the presidential debate about why Biden didn't answer that question. and why he did not make him answer that question, Wallace actually had a fucking meltdown with a colleague from Fox and claimed that the whole entire debate was Trump's fault and that Biden answered that question. He answered every single question poignantly, and people probably didn't hear it because it's Trump's fault. I watched it live, and that never happened, and it didn't happen last night either. That's because they do not want you to know everything that it is that they're hiding from you. They don't want you to know your plans, even though if you pay attention to what any of these imbeciles say, it's very quite clear. Honest to God.
You know, something that surprised me yesterday was that one of the questions called out the Biden-Harris campaign about the Green New Deal, how Biden was saying that he wasn't for it, and it's on their website. I was really surprised that they even mentioned that in the debate.
Okay. And then what did Harris say? Did Harris say that they support it?
Yeah, I don't even remember. It just was not really an answer. It's just kind of like where they walk all the way around it. You know, it's just, right. I don't know how people don't see that they constantly contradict themselves, and it's just, right. They don't realize, like, well, what am I getting them with these people? Because do they even know?
Right. And that's the funny thing, is that they have published plans on their websites, and they're like, oh, well, I never said I would support the Green New Deal. I'm not for that. I never said I support court packing. I never said that it's Medicare for all and we're taking away everybody's private health insurance.
You know what's crazy about that too? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say they're counting on you staying retarded. They want you to not look. They want you to not question. They want you to not research. So what they tell you, they want you to believe is gospel. They do not want you to look for yourself or to think for yourself or be like, wait a minute, I heard you say on the stage during the, you know, nominations and all that stuff when they were doing their whole, who was going to be the nominee, I heard you say that, like, I don't believe in socialized medicine. We're not going to have socialized medicine in the United States. I never said that. I said that people are still going to be able to keep their health insurance and blah, blah, blah. Guess what? Bernie Sanders came out after the presidential debate and said that Joe Biden told him, and this is, you can go to his Twitter and look, unless, of course, he deleted it already. But where Joe Biden had told him that if he wins the presidency, that Bernie Sanders is going to be in charge of healthcare.
Jeez.
Is that not frightening?
Yeah, I mean, I...
don't stay dumb. Don't stay dumb, people. They want you to be dumb. They want you to be lazy and not look, because that's the only way they can win, if they snow you into thinking that they never said something that they have said repeatedly. So
they have all their independent fact checkers, and they use each other as sources. So that's the way they kind of just do it in a circle. So if you do look it up in a lazy way, then you're just going to kind of get the false information that they're providing.
You mean like Snopes?
Yeah.
Snopes and the hookers.
Oh my God. I can't believe when I found out about that. And everyone just doesn't question it. They just take it as like the word of
Snopes
God.
Snopes said it wasn't true. So it's wrong because Snopes said.
Oh my God.
Hmm.
Nobody asked any questions.
Maybe they all need some more batteries for their dildos because they're all full of it. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of saying.
Makes me happier about what I've been doing, like with my Target shenanigans.
Right.
Have you done that yet with the books?
I have not.
So for those of you that don't know.
I was just going to say, tell everybody about that.
So every time I go to like Target or anything like that, you know, they have like their book section, and Target specifically, I don't know if it's because George Soros has a big part in that company, but they have all of these end caps and everything full of books about like just race and just how white people are the devil and propping up Joe Biden with all of these stupid books for him and Michelle Obama and all that. So what I've been doing is I go through there, I get like a stack of books about like pro Trump, pro America, pro all that stuff, even some self-help books for some of these people. Right. And I just like cover all of those stupid divisive propaganda, and I just put other books in front of them, and it's amazing. I do it every single time. So if anyone else does that, please send me a picture. I will follow you on Twitter.
I totally need to write a book, and then I will go into every store on the planet and put it in front of all of the crap.
I'll help you. Oh my God, I'll help you out here.
We will have an army putting Deplorable Janet's books in front of all the crap books.
It's pretty funny to do like the self-help books too. It's like, man, if you're looking for this shit, you need some help. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm going to write my own self-help book. Self-help tip number one, don't take any shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's my self-help tip for the day. So another funny thing that I noticed during the debates last night was that, you know, they were asking questions about the Green New Deal, and Harris was like, oh, no, like that's not, yeah, we're not. And like she wouldn't say she was for that. And, you know, so sorry.
Wonderful.
You know that AOC is like pushing the agenda for the Democratic Party, her and her squad members.
Yep.
She was so pissed that Kamala Harris did not come out and say, which neither did Joe Biden, come out and say that they were for the Green New Deal. But you live in a state that's already trying to implement part of the Green New Deal.
Yeah.
Where you're not allowed to have a gas-powered car by, what was it, 2025?
I believe it was 2035.
And I'm thinking, okay, so how many people own gas-powered cars? So you're not only going to put the car manufacturers that make gas-powered cars out of business. Mm-hmm. People can't afford. If you have not already looked into a hybrid, quote, electric car, go check the price tag on those, and you tell me how expensive that's going to be to buy one of those. And then that's like the first stage. And then they're going to do away with gas. Okay, so if you have a gas generator for the frequent and constant power outages in California, what are you going to do with that? You can't have an electric power generator, because if all the power goes out or he shuts it off like he does every fucking year since he's been the governor, you have to have a gas-powered one. So you're also going to have to buy not just a brand new car, but a gas-powered, or, you know, you can't have a gas-powered generator because it's gas. But you can't have an electric generator because you can't plug it in because you don't have an electricity. So you're just fucked. All your groceries are going to spoil. You won't have lights on. You won't have a powered water heater. You're just fucked. So you can't use gas. So guess what? If you have a gas-powered water heater, you're not going to be able to have a gas-powered water heater either. So you're going to have to replace that too. And if you have a gas stove, well, fuck you. You can't cook anymore unless you go buy an electric one. But you can't use an electric stove to cook your food during a blackout because there's no electricity.
Right. So they could just threaten more about turning off the power, and it just really affects people even
exactly.
More.
Yeah. And so I want you to think, people, this is not just about the environment. This is about your complete and total domination and control. Because if you can't cook food, if you can't, you know, drive a car, if you can't put your lights on, if you can't power your water heater, if you can't do any of that stuff, who's going to be dependent on the government and begging the government? Newsom.
Yeah.
And the Pelosi family and all the other shitty politicians. You're going to be dependent on them. Are you not? So those are things that people have not even thought about, because when they're doing away with gas and all of that stuff, it doesn't just affect your car. It affects literally all kinds of things in your life. So think about that. What are you going to start, like, building campfires in your yard to cook your food? I doubt that highly. There are some people that could. But if you have a burn ordinance and you live in the city, sorry, you're fucked. You can't eat unless you eat, like, canned beans or something, until they decide that that's not okay either because aluminum is bad, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's like Newsom, he's, like, trying to talk about reparations and shit out here, too. I mean, they can't really pay people's unemployment, but, yeah, let's talk right. about reparations, too. I just want to get the hell out of here, you know?
Or the whole new Planned Parenthood thing that they enacted not too long ago, where if you are, what was it, Indian or Pacific Islander or Black, they're going to pay you $1,200 every month all throughout your pregnancy and even up to like 6 months after you give birth. But if you're white, fuck you.
Yeah.
You don't get any help.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
How is that okay? I'm just questioning. I mean, I don't know.
People here are so sucked into that shit too. Like, for example, I remember like a month or so ago, I posted something on Facebook about this stuff, which I never do because it's never good. But
right. Facebook is a cesspool.
I know. And then you're arguing with like family and friends. But I mean, I was pissed. It was that time when Instagram had that sticker available where it said like mute white people. And I just saw that and I took like a screenshot and I just was talking about how it's ridiculous. And then I included like an article about one of the leaders of the BLM movement saying that white people are subhuman. And then how in Seattle, they were putting out how they wanted to only let minority children enroll into school. If there's room, then white and poor kids can come in.
Right.
And so I was just saying, like, don't you guys see a pattern here? We all want to fight for equality and reform and stuff like that. Then we can all get on board. I don't think there's any Republican I've heard that has defended the stuff that happened to George Floyd, you know, but and then I immediately had people on there saying, like, defending it. Well, what's wrong with this? You know, that it doesn't, there's nothing wrong with that. And I even had one friend who is she was a social worker. She just switched over to like a therapist, but she was like, what this is with the schools is a point of affirmative action, and it's absolutely necessary. It's like affirmative action with children in education. Fuck off.
Right.
You know? And I just like, there's a lot of friends I've had where I've just kind of really pushed away a little bit through all this, because people out here, they just believe all that stuff. They believe the reparations. They believe that white people are subhuman and don't want to say anything about it. And it's just disgusting to me.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Do you have any family members, your fiance, anything like that, that are not 100% white?
Do I have any that aren't?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you hate your family members? Are they subhuman?
No, I mean, I'm not even 100% white. That's the thing. It's like, you know, I come from a mixed family and so does he. And none of us really think that way, but.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that was my point exactly, because I know what your family's like.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the garbage that they're pushing, where, you know, everybody's some human and everybody is supposed to hate each other and whatnot, it would make sense that you would all just like hate your family members, and we're supposed to hate you and you're supposed to hate us and everybody hates each other. Yep. It is the biggest bunch of total BS and garbage I've ever heard in my life, because I never looked at a person and gone, oh, well, you don't look like me, so fuck off.
Right?
Okay. Nobody looks like me at all. Okay. God makes each and every one of us in a completely different image. If you have a doppelganger or a twin out there, kudos to you, but I do not know anyone that looks exactly like me. I don't play the race game. I don't believe in that. If I'm friends with you, it's because I like you.
Right.
And I don't look at you and go, well, I have to meet my quota. I have to make so many Asian friends or brown friends or black friends or blah, 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 blah. No, if I like you, I like you because you're a good person. If I don't like you, it has nothing to do with anything other than the fact that you're a shit person. Period.
Yeah. You know, actually, recently, one of my very liberal friends, called me and just said something like, you know, I feel like you have a lot of white people in your circle, and that's something that maybe you should really self-reflect on why that is. And I was,
yes, you should meet a quota.
What the fuck? Not that I keep a quota. Only one of my good friends is fully white. Like, most of my friends are mixed race, and it doesn't matter. Like, it's just when you start looking at that, then you're the problem, not me.
Right. That's 100% what I was getting at. I don't need to be told that I have to have a quota because I like everybody.
Yeah.
Until you treat me like shit. And if you treat me like shit, then I don't like you. And it's just because I don't like you because you're a dick.
Yep.
I don't like cunt muffins or douche canoes. That's a fact.
Yep. Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my future brother-in-law the other day, and he's very left-leaning. And I told him about how my fiance and I were planning on hopefully soon moving out of state. And he asked where, and I said, we're thinking either Tennessee or Texas. And he just said something like, oh, so you're really trying to whitewash your daughter. And I just was like, what the fuck? That's whitewashing. Ugh. It's cool. Oh. God.
Where do you want me to move? Where do I have your permission to move to?
I don't know. It's freaking, I just don't even know what to say to people anymore when they say stuff like that. I just,
and say, you know, that's like the whole point. Okay. So think back about my rant at the beginning. Do not ever let someone tell you how you have to live or how you have to be to fit into their, quote, acceptable package or view of you. No, you be you. You be the person that God made you to be. If you're a good person, you're going to be surrounded with good people. If you're not, you're going to be surrounded with shit people. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's meant to be. Do not ever let somebody tell you that you're less than them or, you know, worse person or whatever because you don't fit what they think you need to be. Be you and be proud to be you.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's something that you need to work on, that's your thing. Learn what it is that your weakness is and step up to the plate. And I'm going to tell you, Tuesday when we recorded, so we're going to touch on this just briefly. But we were talking about edibles and stuff like that. It's important for a lot of people because, you know, it calms them down. Makes them see things clearly, makes them creative, et cetera, et cetera. So, I don't do that, but tell me like if you do edibles, how long did it take you to find, or what's the success story to find that?
So edibles are really tricky. I know that I've personally, even kind of recently, made a mistake with that. So I'm still kind of trying to master it. But the rule of thumb is basically start with a lower dose because you can always take more. You can't take less.
Right.
And I mean, the thing with edibles is they just, it's like a more of a body high than if you were to smoke or whatever. So it's like, if you take too much, I mean, there's been one time where like my siblings and my fiance and I, we split up something called a blackout brownie, and we ordered it for delivery. And the guy that showed up and brought it to us was like, dude, he was like, this thing is 1,000 milligrams.
Oh, wow.
Please be careful. So, I mean, for context, like the edible that I took the other day and messed up my bedding on for the political debates, that was a 5 milligram little Reese's cup. So this one was 1,000 milligrams. So my fiance split it all up, and like everyone just grabbed one little piece. And my brother and I always like to go balls to the wall with whatever we do. And so he was like looking at everyone like, you guys are pansies. And he grabbed two. And I was like, yeah, I ain't no bitch. And I grabbed a second one and we both took it. And my man was just like staring at me, shaking his head. He was like, you're going to pay for that. And sure enough, later, like I literally could not move from my chair. My arms were stuck. It was funny because it hit me first. And all my siblings were in my parents' house or my sister's house, and I was outside, like stuck. And they're all staring at me and laughing. And I guess eventually, like my brother, it came to him after he was laughing at me, and all of a sudden, his smile just faded, and he was leaning on the counter and couldn't move. And it's like, it was so fun. Like, it's the only time it's ever happened to me. Like, I didn't know who I was anymore. It's funny because, like, because I was outside and like through the sliding glass door, I could see them laughing at me. I remember like thinking I was in like a mental institution or something like that. And like my brother was telling us the next day that he had to keep reminding himself that we were his sisters. And he, like, I don't know, it was just crazy. So, yeah.
You know what's so funny about that is somebody that is really close to me that I really, really love took some edibles, and they're like, you know, like it wasn't enough, it hasn't done anything. And so they took more and they called me. They called me, and like I couldn't understand a fucking word they were saying because it was literally the funniest conversation I've ever had. I am laughing so hard that I'm crying. I'm peeing my pants. I'm laughing. I'm like, what are you even talking about? I'm like, funniest shit I've ever heard in my entire life. And it, you know, I mean, for me, it's like funny to like hear other people's stories, and like they'll call people and go, dude, like, how do I come down off of this? Or, oh, you're not going to believe like what happened, or, you know, I'm in the fetal position or something. Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't do any of that, and I'm going to tell you why. A lot of people have asked me about that. I don't do drugs. Don't do any drugs, and here's why. I was married to someone who did. I almost lost my daughter because my ex-husband was so fucked up that he punched me in the stomach. Almost miscarried. I've had like complete and total embarrassment from my ex-husband, very violent, very abusive, started smoking marijuana when he was like 6, wow. Progressed to lots of other things. So he was into coke and heroin and meth. Meth was a big deal. He was investigated by the state police for not only manufacturing, but also transporting across state lines. I have been on the wrong side of that situation more times than I care to imagine. So I don't fault anybody else who does. I just live vicariously through other people's stories because I personally can't, because I've been there and I've lived the opposite side of that, and how like it completely destroyed my family at the time, which thank God it did. Like I said, everything happens for a reason, because
yeah.
I have somebody amazing now that I don't have to worry about that stuff. Don't have to worry about the house getting turned upside down or torn apart or furniture broken, you know, couch cushions slashed in, front door being kicked in because some, you know, drug kingpin came to the house because you didn't pay him. I have so many stories. I could really write a book.
Yeah.
And people's heads would explode. So even though that stuff happened, I'm not going to judge other people who do things like that, because everybody's free to be yourself and do you. So you're not going to get judgment from me or whatever, unless you're just a total shit person when you're doing it. And then I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
If you're a shit person with me, I have a problem with that. Or a shit person with someone I love. That's an issue. However, be you. And, you know, if it makes you feel good, if it makes you happy, if it takes away your pain, you know, makes you not hurt anymore, clears your mind, et cetera, it, good for you. I do other things, so I don't need to do that kind of stuff, but I don't have a problem with that. So anyways, I want to ask you, we were talking about this before we started recording today. What the hell is going on with the plot to kidnap Governor Whitmer? I don't like her. Mind you, remember the episode that we did where we talked about you're not allowed to have family gatherings and stuff, but it's okay to keep open the business that has the glory holes that was closed to her house. Just saying, don't know what's going on there personally in her sex life, but anyhow.
Wow, I know that is not, I'm trying to pull up the article right now. I mean, yeah, like, you know, someone could be corrupt and we don't agree with them, but damn, you don't want to see this crazy shit happen.
Right. And so, did they arrest these people? Weren't there like six of them that were arrested for this plot to, quote, kidnap her?
Yeah, so Breaking 911 just tweeted this out. It says, six men have been arrested and charged federally with conspiring to kidnap the governor of Michigan. The group was reportedly upset over the governor's COVID lockdown orders. So it says in this article that they had plans, I believe, to create like a diversion in a sense. I think they were going to like blow something up so that they're busy over there and then they were going to take her from her home.
So... Well, I just want to say, I don't like her. I've never liked her. I used to live in Michigan. Governor Whitmer's a piece of shit. But anyway, kidnapping is not okay. This is not something that you do just because you're mad over lockdown orders. And then, of course, they're going to be, oh, it's a crazy left or right wingist Q conspiracy person. What? No, they're going to spin the story like some crazy, you know, psycho thing, because that's what they do. But I want to draw attention to something highly important in this article that the U.S. Attorney of Michigan said, and his name is Birge, B-I-R-G-E. And he stated, and I quote, federal and state law enforcement are committed to working together to make sure violent extremists never succeed with their plans, particularly when they target our duly elected leaders. Now, this is going to be a great segue in, I hope, our listeners listen to Dan Bongino. The Dan Bongino show is amazing. Dan Bongino was a Secret Service agent. He has lots of law enforcement experience. He's a really smart guy. So here's the thing. He had a guest on his show today that was talking about, quote, quote, war games. In these war games, John Podesta, the lovely, sick, disgusting pedophile in chief himself. You know, call me daddy in the shower video. John Podesta is involved with many high-ranking members of military, former plus current. They're doing these war games exercises and going through scenarios A, B, C, D, E, blah, 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 blah. To quote, remove President Trump, even if he wins in a landslide, the Electoral College. Now, I want you to think back to the statement that I just read to you from the Attorney General Burge of Michigan, where he said federal and state law enforcement are committed to working together to make sure violent extremists, hello, John Podesta and Hillary Clinton,
right,
never succeed with their plans, particularly when they target duly elected leaders. Now, have you seen the recent news stories and documents that were dumped, exposed, whatever, regarding Brennan's CIA notes and stuff, linking Hillary Clinton to the, quote, Russian disinformation campaign that they then got okayed by President Obama, John Brennan, Director Comey, Hillary Clinton's plan to sow disinformation regarding a presidential candidate. This continued after Trump was elected. Think back again to the statement that I just read you from Berg. Now, Podesta is doing these war games exercises. It's out there in the public. You can go look this shit up. Mm-hmm. You can go research it. It is not a fucking secret. It's not okay to target a duly elected leader unless, of course, it's a leader that they don't like and they don't agree with whatsoever. Now, we wouldn't want to fuck with a duly elected Democratic leader. We only take down Republican leaders or people that we don't like. Does anyone see a problem with that?
Nothing to see here.
I mean, seriously. Look, squirrel. Oh, my God. Run the other way. Just say it.
Netflix just put out another documentary. That's their distraction. Look somewhere else.
Did they put out a documentary regarding looking for squirrels?
Probably.
Just saying. Look for the squirrels. So I want you to think about what I said and the statement that I read, because U.S. attorneys work for the DOJ. Okay? Everybody knows. We haven't seen a single actual arrest of anybody for the crimes, even though documentation exists. It's being leaked out, declassified to the public, etc., etc., etc. So it is okay to target duly elected leaders as long as they do not fall under the pretext or content of which we do not want it to. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
So these are DOJ employees that are saying this, but yet we have not seen, even though we have evidence in the public eye, in the public view, according to declassified, unredacted documents, which there's going to be way more coming.
Can't wait.
It's going to be a waterfall. Sorry, I'm very burpy today. I apologize.
Okay. I just feel like a lot of people, I know that was an issue with like my fiance, like when he first started finding out about all this, like I would try to tell him like, look, this and this has happened. Like with, like, for example, like Anthony Weiner's laptop, stuff like that. And
he would just say, like, well, then why hasn't she been arrested? Doesn't that make you think that it's not true or there's nothing there if they haven't been arrested? So people are just, that's what it does. It just makes people doubt that it's all true.
Right. People are fed up and they're irritated and they're pissed. And I get that. However, I'm going to leave this adage here, and it's so true. Perfection takes time. To build a case against these people where they cannot escape justice, to be airtight and actual perfection is a really long time coming. Think about the press conference the other day, and everybody was getting all excited with the DOJ press conference. Oh my God, they're going to like get Hillary, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. The people that were brought to justice, that were finally indicted for the killing of four Americans, plus several people from the UK, by people from the UK who left the UK and joined ISIS, has been a long time coming. They arrested them actually in 2018. It took 2 years to build a solid airtight case. So think about that, all of these corrupt, demonic, evil swamp creatures that have done unspeakable harm, not just to the American people, but to children, to your tax dollars, to, you know, terrorism against America, you name it, it's there. You have to build that perfect case. Perfection takes time. So don't give up hope on things like that. But the last point that I want to make today, and this is part of it, okay, thinking back again to that press conference regarding Governor Whitmer and the U.S. Attorney's speech about, you know, protecting our duly elected leaders. Did anybody catch the press conference today that Nancy Pelosi gave?
I did not. What happened?
She said she wanted all the media out here to come back tomorrow. Because tomorrow, they're going to talk about discussing the 25th Amendment to remove President Trump from office because he's unfit to lead the country.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. I'll do my Nancy Pelosi impression. You can't see me right now, but I do have my arched eyebrows on that I drew down to my cheekbones. And I have some vodka in front of me. No, I'm just kidding. I don't drink vodka. It makes me not a nice person.
Oh, I love vodka.
So I'm just saying. Okay, so she told the entire press pool at a press conference today to come back tomorrow because they're going to discuss removing President Trump because he can no longer carry out his duties. Now, has anybody seen the documents or discussions from his doctors that state he has no symptoms of COVID? Okay, so number one, in the 25th Amendment, you have to have just cause to remove somebody from office because they're incapacitated or unable to do or carry out the duties of the office of the presidency because they're incapacitated, ill, you know, mentally unstable, blah, 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 blah. Has there been anything in the news besides the fake news stuff where he's like, oh my God, he's going to die. Trump is going to die. And then they were pissed because he got let out of the hospital because he wasn't dead.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. You know, they're just pushing anything that they can to try to get rid of him. And I just think it's really funny that they're trying to use this thing where he's like unfit or whatever, when these are the people that also want Joe Biden to be president. Like, he doesn't even know who he is. He thinks he's running for senator. He also thinks he's Joe Biden's husband, Joe Biden. Like, this is the person they think is fit to run. So I don't know. It's just bullshit.
I'm Janet's husband, Janet.
Right?
And I am running for Senate of the United States of America. And as your president of the Senate, I will be the president. And I'm Janet.
Oh, I feel like we're living in a season of South Park or something. I don't know. This is just nuts.
It's kind of funny because I know we discussed this before we went on today, but in the 25th Amendment, can you just willy-nilly remove somebody if you're in charge of the house just because you don't like someone? Can you do that?
Nope, you can't.
Why not?
Of what I saw, it says the vice president also has to agree.
And his what?
One second. Let me pull up where it was at.
Starts with a C word.
Oh, the cabinet.
Yeah, it's where I put my dishes.
It said that, and then it said something else, too. They needed two-thirds or something like that, yeah.
The vice president and the place where I put my dishes has to approve and agree that he is, quote, or she, is unable to carry out their functions of the duly elected presidency. Now, again, I'm going to go back to that same statement from the U.S. District Attorney in Michigan, Mr. Burge, who said that they're going to make sure that violent extremists never succeed with their plans, particularly when they target duly elected leaders. Okay, so you have Trump's doctors coming out and saying he has no symptoms of COVID. None. Zero. Okay. And you're going to remove him from office. Why? Because you don't like him?
Yep.
That's not in the Constitution. That's not legal. So if that's the case, and you can remove somebody on the 25th Amendment because they're unable to carry out duties, should we also not be able to remove Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House because she's a drunken baboon fool and doesn't know how to put on her fucking eyebrows every day?
Oh,
or use C-Bond or any kind of denture adhesive to keep her teeth in her mouth?
That's amazing.
I'm just saying.
I feel like her face is melting off when I look at her. It's just really hard to look at her.
I totally want to do a video acting like I'm her. I totally do. It would be amazing.
I think it would be great.
It would be amazing.
I think you'd go viral for sure.
I'm going to try to work on that.
You can hold your cup of vodka. Bunch of ice cream in the background.
I know. I'm going to have to get that really expensive ice cream that I talked about a long time ago. Anybody that follows the Periscopes know that I talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Jen's ice cream that Biden and Pelosi both buy a lot of, that has the Blue Ribbon Baby special, where if you buy their special ice cream, you also get a onesie with it. And it's like $75 for a pint of ice cream.
Oh, interesting. Things that make me
And guess what? Jen's ice cream. Oh, this is going to be great. Also, closely associated with Les Wexner of the Victoria's Secret Foundation fame. Oh my God, who's also tied to Jeffrey Epstein. Yeah. But buy Jen's ice cream at, you know, $27 a pint because it's really good ice cream. I swear. Oh my God.
You're all poor because we locked down, you know, the country, but here, let me just, you know, flaunt my $27 ice cream.
Let me go to my $30,000 refrigerator and pull out this $27 pint ice cream. Oh, you people don't need any kind of assistance. Or you people, we don't need to vote for another stimulus package for you people who live in the United States, who elected us, who we work for. You don't need that because I have this really expensive refrigerator, really expensive ice cream, and really expensive clothes, and I'm more important than you. Fuck off. Thank you. Thank you. That was my public service announcement for today.
You know, you sound like the sister from South Park. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but she has like the full metal in her mouth and she just
talks. Yes, I do.
But she's also evil, like Pelosi. It really fits.
My name is Deplorable Janet, a.k.a. Nancy Pelosi, South Park.
Oh, man. Anyway. They need to put her on.
Anyway. There. So I just wanted to say to everybody again, thanks for tuning in. Sorry about the snafu this week. Super duper technical issues on our recording software. Wasn't trying to destroy anyone's life or make their life miserable because they missed our episode. Anyway, so I just want to say thanks for tuning back in. We added a lot more information this time. I love Cassie. I love all of our guests. I love all of our listeners. And I'm never, ever going to be one of those snotty ass fuckers that you can't approach or talk to. I will always try to respond to your messages or your tags, your post, et cetera, because customer service goes a really long way. I love you all, your family. So I appreciate you all. Miss Cassie, any final thoughts today?
Not really. I just want to remind everyone to try to practice mindfulness through the negativity that's going on in the world. I feel like a lot of these people are really evil and they just kind of flourish in our negative vibes and our depression. So try not to let them have that. You know, get outside, do what you can, exercise when you can. I practice meditation before bed. It's really been helping. So if anyone needs any help or is feeling down, feel free to message me. I'll do what I can to try to help you as well. We got to be there for each other through this.
So where can they find you at on social media?
I have a Twitter. It's FAWK for.
Fuck. I just want to say fuck a lot.
I just made it that because I found that like ever since I've been looking into all this stuff, I am constantly just saying like, what the fuck? So okay, that's what I made my name.
Seriously. Truth.
Yeah, truth. For sure.
And so I just want to say again, thank you for everybody that listens. You guys are dedicated and I love you so much. I respect you. I appreciate you as a community and as a family because that's what you guys are as a family. We support each other. We love each other. We lift each other up. We are not here to tear each other down. Do not ever think for one second that because you're not an expert on something that I won't have you on my show because you think your voice doesn't matter. It does. Because you matter. Your opinions matter. God made you in an image. Be you. Be proud that you're you. And be good to other people because that's extremely important. So I just want to say for me, for Cassie, thank you so much for tuning back in to the re-record of episode 14 that I'm going to title Shut It. So anyway, we will see you next week. It's going to be a killer show, and you're not going to want to miss it. Love y'all, and see you next week.
Bye.
Peace out.